Hi, I'm Pastor Brady, and welcome to the Five Forks Student Ministries Podcast. Tonight, we are going to be concluding our series talking about redefining normal. And this time, we're going to specifically be talking about redefining normal love. Okay. Well, we are getting started with our lesson here tonight, and as we get started, I want to do a brief recap to kind of what we've been talking about so far, and I just said the name of our series, but can someone tell me what is the name of the current lesson series we are talking about, Dunkaroo? Redefining normal. That is exactly right. We're talking about redefining normal because the sad truth is that the current form of Christianity, like the current normal Christianity, as a lot of people view it as, it's not good enough. It's not. It's too complacent. It's too comfortable. And Jesus did not call for us to be comfortable. He called us to follow him. And so that's why we're here to redefine normal. And last week we focused on redefining what? We said we wanted to redefine a specific thing as it pertains to following Jesus. It was a four-letter word. Started with H. Hartley. Hope. That is exactly right. We want to redefine hope. By the way, I will warn you. Was the candy good when you and Jackson tried a piece earlier?
I put it back in the bag.
Well, we'll see if this candy tastes good or not. It is like a few months expired. It's fine. It's fine. I found this bag, and I was like, huh. We'll see if it's good. There you go. Well, it depends on the person. Some people it's fine, some it's not fine. Guess you'll find out. That's part of the mystery.
The chair's falling out, but hey, your problem.
Yeah, that's right. But yes, last week we talked about redefining hope, and we talked about developing this perspective of hope. And we talked a lot about perspective, the power of perspective. And we said how the hope that we have in Jesus should change our perspective of the world, because we should be looking at all of these opportunities for us to spread the hope and the good news of Jesus. And so that was what we focused on last week as we talked about redefining normal. And now we're going to be focusing on another topic for tonight. And as we get into that, I'll just ask you a question. Simple question. Do you like gifts? Yeah, I mean, Eden is one. Last name is Gift, so yeah. But, you know, getting gifts for like Christmas, your birthday, so on. Like, raise your hand. Who likes gifts? I would be shocked if...
next week.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's Easter. Yeah. Every hand just shot up because, yeah, we all like gifts. We all like gifts. You know, there's something, you know, about just getting a gift for Christmas or your birthday. Or like, if someone just randomly decides to be nice and gets you a gift, like, it is such a nice feeling. But, you know, it's also really cool to give someone a gift as well, and you see like their joyous reaction as they're opening up the gift that you got them, and like the excitement that they have about it. I mean, gifts are so much fun, but I'm curious if you all have ever experienced this before. I imagine you may have, but you ever had that moment whenever someone gave you a really weird gift and you had no idea how to react? Like, I mean, I'm talking like very, very bizarre gifts. Well, I'll tell you a story of one of the weirdest gifts I've ever received. It was from one of my best friends. He was my roommate in college, our sophomore year. His name was Eric. And Eric and I, we were so excited to room together for our sophomore year of college. And so to kind of commemorate our time rooming together, Eric was like, hey, I'm going to get a gift for you. And I was like, that is so thoughtful. Thank you. And then he said, yeah, I've been looking over Craigslist. And does anyone know what Craigslist is? Pretty much, imagine like a creepier Facebook marketplace is kind of Craigslist. You'll find the weirdest things imaginable there. And that's exactly what Eric was looking for. And so he was scouring the local Craigslist around the Lancaster area. And for the low, low price of $10, this is what he found. If you're wondering what it is, that is a sloth in an astronaut suit shower curtain. That is a shower curtain. Yeah, it is a shower curtain turned tapestry that for my entire sophomore year of college, that's what I woke up to staring at me. You know, I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night and you just look over. Just peeking up over our little gaming setup we had was just the happy, smiling sloth in the astronaut costume.
Brady, what game did you got over there?
Man, this was 2015. So what do we got here? We got a Wii U. That's going kicking it old school. I think we got an Xbox One maybe somewhere. It might be down here somewhere. Yeah. Oh, got some Pringles over here. How about that? Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, the weirdest gift, that was one of the weirdest gifts I've ever received, was this sloth astronaut shower curtain. Yes, Hartley.
I mean, that's not as weird as a bath scrubber. I got a bath scrubber.
Well, I couldn't find a picture of it. It did actually come with a matching, like, bath rug, a sloth astronaut bath rug as well, but I didn't have a picture of that. He got the whole, that was like our welcome mat whenever you walked into our room. It was another sloth astronaut little rug there as soon as you walked in. It was just the weirdest thing. So strange. But, you know, as I was reflecting on this sloth astronaut shower curtain, I wanted to look up what are some of the weirdest gifts I could get someone. And so, of course, you know, that led me down the most insane Google search rabbit trail. And I found, these are some of my personal favorites I found, are some of the weirdest gifts you could buy for someone. So, you know, and if you have someone whose birthday's coming up or save an idea for Christmas, here you go. One of my personal favorites, for a low price of $10, a yodeling pickle. I thought that was a great one. Yeah, it's just a pickle that yodels. I mean, can't ask for anything better. This is not for the low price of $10. This is about $250 for this next one, so save up your money to buy a friend or family member a long Furby.
What?
So you guys know Furbies? Like the little, like, toys?
That is
yeah, so what people will do is they will take a Furby and they will just make it longer. This one was four, the picture doesn't show it all, but yeah. 4.5 feet long is how long that Furby was. Imagine having a Furby that's almost as tall as you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're Owen or Matt, it goes up to about your waist if it's only 4.5 feet. Here's
the... You better hurry. There's only one left.
I know. There's only one left. So buy fast. And the last one, again, for the last one, a more affordable route for this last one. But again, I thought it was very interesting. Potato Pal.
Oh, I've seen
this. It's where, yeah, you can upload your face, and then it is printed onto a potato, and then you can mail it to a friend. So, yes, for the low price of $25, you can mail a friend a picture of yourself on a potato. Yeah. I mean, but it has your face on it. It's a steal. Well, did it have...
He wrapped it up and just put it, like, gave it to me.
That's like that one video of that kid who got an avocado. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's a pretty good one. Well, here you have it. Those are some of my favorite weirdest gifts that I found. Yeah. You just can't look at them seriously, can you? Oh, you can enter a potato message. Maybe on the other side you can, like... Right, they write a message on the potato for you. Huh. There you have it. Potato Pal. By the way, I guess I should make it clear for the podcast. This is not sponsored by Potato Pal. I need to make that clear. Totally kidding. But those are my favorite weird gifts. But talking about gifts and gift giving and gift receiving, the whole reason that people give gifts and receive gifts and whatnot is it's all about... like giving something to someone that you care for. It's like a sign of love. Because especially like looking at Long Furby over here, because I just had to put it back up on the screen again. I want you to think about this. This is, like I said, $225. Well, whenever you give a gift for someone, usually it costs money. And how do you earn money? By working a job. Yeah. So you work your job. You earn money, and then you spend that money to buy someone a gift that you're never going to see, you're never going to touch, you're giving it to someone else. So pretty much, you spend all that time working
not for yourself, but for someone else completely. And so gifts are a way of showing love to someone. And that's why, like, around, like, the major holidays, like Christmas or someone's birthday, or especially, like, Valentine's Day, gifts are a way of showing love to a family member, a friend, significant other, and so on. And showing love is so, so important, especially for us Jesus followers, us as Christians. Showing love is incredibly important. And so I'll quiz you all. What are the two most important commandments? What does Jesus say are the two most important commandments, Colin?
Love your neighbor as yourself and love above your heart, mind, heart.
That is exactly right. Matthew 2, starting at verse 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law, like everything, demands, and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So everything, like essentially everything in the Bible is based on these two commandments. So there it is right there. It's all based on showing love. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight is, okay, how are we supposed to show this kind of love? And that's what we want to focus on, because we're going to be redefining normal love here tonight. That's our goal. And as we begin this discussion talking about redefining normal love, we're actually going to dive into a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys familiar with that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? I'm seeing some... Yeah, we talked about it a little bit this morning, if you were paying attention in Sunday school. But it is known as the love chapter. Like, this is known as the love chapter in the Bible. And it's often read at weddings. Like, it was actually, like, read at Lexi and I's wedding. Because when you read it, it brings this warm, fuzzy feeling. Like, you can't help but smile as you read this chapter all about love. And the reason this chapter is so cool is because it shows us what kind of God we worship, and what he expects from us. There has never been anyone who has been able to walk the way Jesus did, the way that Jesus showed love and showed us what it means to walk in love. We'll never find a better example than Jesus himself. And what the Apostle Paul did is he's the one who wrote this letter. What he wanted to show us here in 1 Corinthians 13 is what true love looks like, and the love that Jesus showed each and every day. And so we're going to read that now. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. You can follow along on the screen. Here we go. "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." So we're going to pause here in our reading of 1 Corinthians 13, because what Paul is saying here is honestly kind of shocking. It's really interesting because he's talking about people doing incredible things, like good people doing really good things, like being able to speak and communicate with everyone, giving to the poor, helping others. Like, Paul is talking about like really good things, and yet he says, so what? Who cares? Without love, all of that is meaningless. It means nothing. Why do you think that is? Why would Paul say that? Hartley, what do you think?
Because basically all we do is through love, and without love, none of these things are possible.
So like all that we do like should be based through love. Yeah, I mean, that's a good starting place, and that's kind of where we're going to go with this. You know, as I was kind of reflecting on what these first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 meant, I actually remembered a scene from an old SpongeBob episode that I thought showed this really well. And so I'm going to just play that scene on the screen. So go ahead and pay attention. Wise words from SpongeBob. Here we go. There you have it. There you have it. Talking about why love is so important, we see what doesn't contain love is empty and hollow and tastes gross, apparently. And essentially, it goes back to those two commandments. You know, we talked about those two commandments that Jesus said, where everything is based around loving God and loving others. Even if you do amazing things, like make 1,000 Krabby Patties in like a minute, if you fail to love, it's essentially meaningless. And so the question now is, okay, what should love look like? If we're supposed to make sure we have love in everything we do, what should love look like? Well, let's keep reading to see how Paul is going to describe what true love looks like. This is where you get the warm, fuzzy feeling from this passage. Picking up at verse 4, Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures every circumstance." That's the love we aspire to have right there. And you see what I mean? You can't read that and just feel like, you can't help but feel that warm, fuzzy feeling as you read that passage, because it's all about pure, genuine love. It doesn't give up. It doesn't lose faith. It's always hopeful. And again, it's interesting. Paul concludes this chapter in verse 13 kind of saying the same exact thing. I just want to kind of repeat that. And so we're going to jump to the very end, verse 13. Paul says, "Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." You know, I feel these kind of conversations are everywhere, you know, talking about what is the greatest? You know, what's the GOAT? Like basketball. The debate is always what? Who's the GOAT? LeBron James or MJ? Who's the GOAT? The new Minecraft movie. Is it the GOAT? Is it the greatest movie ever? It just might be. Yeah, chicken jockey and, yeah, Flint and Steel. You know, maybe I probably won't be on DVD or anything yet. I was like, man, during the all-nighter, I could have played the Minecraft movie. That would have been legendary. Yeah. Totally got off track. But it's interesting what Paul says here. It's kind of, Paul is ending the GOAT debate because he's saying, out of faith, hope, and love, love is the GOAT. It is the greatest, without question. But it's interesting, you know, like 2 weeks ago, we were talking all about faith, like redefining normal faith. And we talked about how crucial it is to have a faith that moves. We talked about how important it is to get in the wheelbarrow, you know, with that analogy, and have a faith that actually moves. You don't want to be stagnant as a follower of Jesus. And then last week, we talked about how vital a hope that sees and having that perspective of hope is. So we spent these last 2 weeks talking about that. But regardless of those, Paul says, no matter how important hope is and faith is, love will always be the GOAT. It's the greatest, because everything is based around love. All of who God is, all of who we are called to be, it's all around love. Yes, Tim. Magic and Google. Yeah, I just looked for I forget what I typed into Google. It was, I think I just said, I did something with like goats and love. I had to look it up. Oh yes, I forget what, like the sign, you can't actually see it with the screen, but like inside it says something about, you know, goats, like love being the GOAT or something like that, inside the little sticky note thing inside the middle of the heart. But that's what it's all about. It's all about love. And so the question for us now is okay, if love is the GOAT, if it's the greatest, the most important thing, then how do we make sure our lives are always filled with and surrounded with love? Well, the answer to that is honestly pretty simple. You see, first, we must constantly receive the love of God, so that second, we can constantly give the love of God. So, This isn't a trick question. What is this?
A cup.
It's a cup. How would you describe it right now?
Empty.
It's an empty cup. That's exactly right. If this cup's empty, is it fulfilling its purpose right now?
No.
It's empty. It's meaningless. And so what needs to be done to add meaning and purpose into this cup? You got to fill it with something. Yeah, whether it's water, soda, some kind of drink. You got to fill it with something. It needs to be filled. And you know, we as humans, we're the same. There are so many people in our world who describe themselves as feeling empty, like their lives lack meaning and have no purpose. Some of you, honestly, in this room might be feeling that same way right now. And if you're feeling that way, if you have questions about that, may I suggest to you this solution? It begins by receiving the love of God. You know, I've been working as a youth pastor for over 5 years at this point, and I've interacted with a lot of teenagers over this time span. And one of the saddest things that I've seen as a youth pastor is I've seen so many teens fall for Satan's greatest lie. You are unlovable. I've seen so many teenagers, even Christian teenagers, fall for this lie, saying, I am unlovable. No one could ever love me. And I've seen so many Christian teenagers say that, you know, they believe that God is only disappointed in them and that God is just waiting for them to make a mistake so that way he can punish them. Like, I've heard Christian teenagers like say that to me. And here's the thing. Is God upset whenever we sin? Yes, of course he's upset when we sin. But the reason for that is because sin is the opposite of good. Like, what does sin bring? It brings hurt. It brings pain. It brings anger. And all God wants for you is joy and peace and goodness. That's why he wants you to receive his love so you can be redeemed. So you can experience a life of goodness, the life that he intended for you. And just so you know, you might believe, like, okay, I get that, but I'm too messed up. Like, there's no way God could still love me because I have made so many mistakes and I just keep making mistakes. And I understand you might feel that way, but let me just tell you, when you read the Bible and you read about some of these like different like heroes of the Bible, as we like to call them, they are some messed up people. Like Moses, he's a murderer. Moses killed someone. And we talk about Moses as this great, you know, all of like the children's, you know, Sunday school lessons they have about Moses. Well, yeah, he was a murderer. Peter, you know, we like to talk about Peter. He straight up denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Paul has 13 books of the Bible that he is the author of. We call Paul like the first missionary and all this important stuff. Well, we all know how Paul's life started. He persecuted Christians. He killed hundreds of Christians, you know, and yet, despite their sins and their failures, God loved them and used each of them just as God loves you and he wants to use you. You are not unlovable. Do not fall for this lie. You are not unlovable. It reminds me of what's written in Isaiah 54:10. This is what God says. The words of the Lord himself says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken." So again, we go back to this cup. And part of its purpose in life is for this cup to be filled. So this cup is now fulfilling its purpose. It is filled, in this case, filled with water. And I just want to pause here now in the middle of the lesson. Like, you know, typically at this, like, I like to pray at the end of a lesson, and we're going to do that too. But I just want to take a moment because I think it's important to just pause in the middle of this because we're talking about receiving love from God and how important it is to receive love from God. And so I just want to pause and just take some time to pray for that. So bow your heads with me, and we're just going to pray with that here for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is so easy to fall for the lies of feeling unlovable, feeling like we're such total screw-ups that you'll never care for us or love us. God, I hope you will show each person in this room just how much you love them. And I pray that they will actively receive your love. And so may they just know how much you love them. May they do that by spending time with you, Lord, spending time in prayer with you, spending time in your word, worshiping you through music and song. Lord, let them receive your love. Put this desire in each person to just want to constantly be receiving your love, to have their cup filled, Lord. That is our prayer tonight. We pray this in your name. Amen. That's where it begins. It begins by receiving God's love. As you talk about, okay, what's my purpose in life? It begins with that, by receiving God's love, filling your life with God's love. I cannot emphasize how important that is. I mean, it is the heartbeat of what our everyday lives should look like. But love doesn't stop there. Like, receiving love from God is incredibly important, but that's not our only purpose in life. That's not the only purpose for this cup. Because if I just keep receiving more and more love in this cup, what happens? Is this cup fulfilling its purpose? Well, yes, but it made a little bit of a mess here. Because the other purpose in life, the other purpose of a cup is, yes, it is filled with whatever, you know, fluid you put in. We are filled with God's love. But the other purpose of our lives is to give God's love to others. You guys ever been to a track meet before? Like, some of you, who does track and field? Some of you guys. Who else, like, who's ever been to, like, a track, track meet before? Like, ever seen a track meet, or maybe like you watched it like on the Olympics or something like that. What are some of your favorite events from going to track meets?
I've never been to one, but probably hurdles.
Like watching hurdles?
High jump.
High jump, yeah. What else?
Relay.
Relays, those are my favorite events, are the relay events. They are so much fun. And what are relays all about? What happens during a relay race?
Handoffs.
Yeah. It's receiving the baton from your teammate, and what do?
Go.
You pass it along to the next person. You run, and then you give it to the next person. It's about receiving and giving. That's what our purpose in life is. It's receiving the love of God so we can give the love of God to others. That's what Christian love is all about. And the sad part with normal Christian love is that it's often about just the receiving. Like, we talk about only receiving God's love and how important that is. Like, and yes, it is immensely important. Like, yes, receiving the love of God is so important, but we only focus on that because, like, yes, we want to make sure we receive forgiveness from our sin and we receive eternal life. So we talk about receiving God's love. But we want to redefine what normal Christian love looks like and make sure it doesn't focus just on receiving, but also on giving away, on giving that love to other. It is a love, it is embracing a love that gives. That's what Christian love is about. It's kind of like this guy. Do you guys know who this guy is? Anyone know who this is? Blake Mykoski, at least that's how I think his last name's pronounced. You guys know who Blake is? Some of you actually, maybe? Well, you may not know him from his picture, but I bet some of you probably maybe even own something that he's responsible for. You see, Blake, he's the inventor of the Toms shoe brand. You guys ever seen like the Toms shoes before? Some of you maybe even like own a pair of Toms shoes. Well, it's a really fascinating story about how this whole business came to be. You see, Blake had worked in business and stuff his whole life, but after, you know, doing that for a while and saving up some money, he wanted to kind of get away from the work world for a while and take like an extended vacation because he just wanted to explore the world. He wanted to get out of the office and he just wanted to see the world. And so what he decided is he was going to go to South America and he was going to spend time going to different countries, just exploring the world. And so first he went to Brazil, then Uruguay, and then he went to Argentina. And it was in January of 2006, Blake goes to Argentina and he just is like experiencing everything about the Argentine culture. And he learned how to sail. He learned how to tango. He even learned like competitive polo. You guys like know what competitive polo is? Like, you know, riding the horse, like that game with the horses. Yeah, exactly. He learned how to play polo. And so he fell in love with Argentina. And so he actually like extended his stay there. And he was kind of saying like it turned into like a second home for him, like a second country for him, because he just fell in love with the country. But the longer that Blake stayed there, he learned that there were a lot more issues happening in the country than he first realized. Countless villages all around the country did not even have fresh drinking water. And there were so many children he would see that didn't have shoes. And this lack of basic needs led to so many health issues and infections and, in extreme situations, death for many. And so Blake, when he saw this, is kind of a quote that he said. He said, "I was overwhelmed by the spirit of the South American people, especially those who had so little. I was instantly struck with the desire, the responsibility to do more." And he went on to say, "Inspired by traditional Argentine shoes and challenged by the continent's poverty and health issues, I created TOMS with a singular mission, to make life more comfortable, both for the person who would purchase the shoe and wear a comfortable shoe, but then for every single pair of TOMS shoes that are purchased by someone, they would give away a pair of shoes to a child in need. In fact, to this day, TOMS has donated over 105 million pairs of shoes since it came into existence." For Blake, he had received so much. He received so much love from the South American people and from the people of Argentina. But it didn't stop there. He was like, "This is amazing." But after receiving the love, he's like, "I felt this responsibility to make sure I am giving that love away." And that's what it looks like as we look to be followers of Jesus. Yes, we receive God's love. And then what do? We give it away. We fill ourselves up and we give it away. That's what normal Christian love is all about. It is receiving and giving. That's what it's about. It's kind of like going back to that whole talking about gifts earlier in the lesson. It's kind of like if you've ever received a gift before and then you re-gift it to someone else in the future. It's kind of like that, where we have been given this gift of love from God. Like, we're not worthy of God's love. We talked about that earlier. Like, yes, we have sinned, we make mistakes, but God, because of his incredible love for us, he still loves us despite all of that. And so it is our responsibility. What our desire should be is to then give that love to others. Because he first loved us, we are to love others. It kind of reminds me of what John wrote in his one letter. This is 1 John chapter 4. "We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a fellow brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, 'Those who love God must also love their fellow believers.'" And so as we close our lesson here tonight, before you break into small groups, I just want you to wrestle with some of these questions here. What would it look like for you to redefine what normal love looks like, of receiving and giving? What would it look like for you to allow the radical love of God to just like pulsate through your veins every single day and impact everything you do? What would that look like? How can you be this walking billboard of God's love showing it to everyone. How can you make that a reality in your life? You're going to talk about that in your small groups a little bit, but let me close with a word of prayer, and then you can wrestle with those questions a little more with your groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. And Lord, it is a big responsibility that you have given us to give and show your love in so many ways around us, to spread it to so many people. But this is the most important thing we can ever do. This is what our lives' purposes should be based around. It's about receiving the love that you have for us and extending that love unto others. Let that be our mission in life. I pray each person in this room takes that seriously. This isn't just something we talk about for fun on Sunday night at youth group and spill water on the floor and whatnot, having fun. No, this is what our lives are about. So Lord, let that resonate on each and every person's heart. As we leave here tonight, as we go out into the world next week, let this impact our everyday life. This isn't just a Sunday night thing, just a church thing. This is an every aspect of life thing. And we do all of this because of your great love for us. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thanks for listening to tonight's lesson. As always, you can go back and listen to any previous lessons that you might have missed. Also, if you want to stay up to date with what is happening in the Five Forks Student Ministries, we encourage you to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, where you can find us under Five Forks Students. Or you can check out our website, ffbic.org/students.